Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Howdy, hour number two, company live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network on a busy Wednesday here. Do a little NBA. Actually, do a lot of hoops here. We'll get to the KP stuff next segment. Just trying to kick this down the road as long as possible to sum it up, the energy to actually get through that segment, because I'm going to probably lose my mind. Wow. I'm serious. I couldn't start the show. We couldn't start with that anyway, really, because of the McDaniels stuff. But there was, I mean, I was watching that from a flu-like haze, still feeling the remnants pretty heavily last night and still a little bit today.
Yep.
I saw it live.
And did you think you were actually, like, hallucinating?
Can I tell you this? I was in the middle of something. This is actually a quick 20-second aside that's relatively funny, I think. So, you know how you have these conversations? And if my wife is watching, she knows how I don't mean it this way. She knows it. Because it was important to her. Therefore, it's important to me.
Yeah.
And she knows I mean that. But there are conversations that you have with women that really just aren't that important. And I know you go through this as well.
Of course. Of course. I've just found a good way to just look like I'm listening.
No, I'm usually very adept at that as well. But I knew that this actually bothered her. So I actually, Tiki, I saw him go down, right, over Giannis when he yoked it back on the dunk. And when he actually got hurt, he was on the floor for a second. I hit stop. I gave her my full attention. It took every ounce of restraint that I had to not say, leave me alone. Go in the next room.
I got to see
my
what happened.
My world's collapsing.
Wait, so you didn't know.
Get lost. I mean, not that I, well, I wouldn't quite say that.
But you didn't know that he had torn his ACL.
I knew it was bad, dude.
But
Did I know? No.
Because
did I know? Yes.
You could have thought it was his ankle because he stepped on.
I knew. Giannis. I knew it was his knee. I saw him. He grabbed his knee.
Yeah.
So, and it was about something that. It's about something you'd see on the Housewives show.
It was like a
girl issue like that.
Yeah.
Again, that's important to her.
Of course.
Therefore, it's very important to me. I want to make sure she feels good about it.
It wasn't a housewife issue, was it?
No. But it's something you would see on a Housewives show.
Oh, I gotcha,
about
I
like
gotcha.
Like friend drama that really isn't really drama. Whatever. That. Nothing bad. I mean, but I'm like, oh, this is what I got to deal with. So we'll get to that.
At least you don't get caught watching Housewives like I have.
No, I watch it on occasion. We watch it.
Yeah. I have to watch it.
You do?
I could leave the room, but that's just rude.
You should do.
But that's rude.
Well, then it's rude that she makes you watch it.
Yeah, but it's like it's in the bedroom. We're like laying in bed.
You got 9,000 rooms.
True, but
go in the other room and watch TV.
10 o'clock at night. And then you know what's worse? It's not even on TV. It's like DVR'd.
Yeah, that's how Jen has them, too. Jen has them on DVR as well.
Watch this any other time.
But no. Don't say that. Because they can't. Because they're actually watching our kids.
Good point.
So don't ever say that.
Good point.
I learned that lesson a long time ago.
But it's like,
and
10,
that's where I'll always
like
have mama's
10,
back.
And Brooklyn was in bed at 8. So I'm just wondering what you're doing for the last 2 hours.
Yeah. Unlike me, who I've got 30 for 30s DVR'd or all these things. I can kind of watch whenever I want.
Yeah.
Moms don't have that luxury. So don't ever go for that
guard. Good
point. And you should know that,
dude,
because you've been a dad a lot longer than I've been a dad.
I never say it. I'm just,
well,
that's what I'm thinking.
Don't even think it, because sometimes they can
even sniff
that out.
You can't watch this when I'm not in here?
Yeah, I know. All right, LeBron. Wow. All right, so.
His drama, it might be on par.
This is a disgrace. Mm. All right, so they scored 43 points last night in the first quarter, the Cavaliers. And I love this because I want them to fall apart, because I want LeBron to lose every big moment the rest of his career. I don't like the diva that he's turned into. So I'm now actively rooting and openly rooting against him. Not for injury, but I would never wish that upon anybody, but I want him to fail at the biggest level from now on. And I love this. So I thought last night he was given a little respite because, well, and to be fair, I didn't know if I was going to come in to do the show today. So I'm like, well, when they're winning this big, I'm like, all right, well, even if I'm not well enough to do the show, there's really nothing to talk about because they're going to beat the Magic, and maybe I know I'll be good on Thursday, and they're playing the T-Wolves on Wednesday. They'll get drilled on Wednesday. That's when I could have my fun. No, we can have our fun now. Because the 43 points then turned into somehow a referendum on what has become their entire season. According to Elias, it was the third time in the past 10 years that a team had a 40-point quarter and a single-digit quarter in the same game. The 18-point loss was the largest in the shot clock era, by a team that led by 15 at the break against a team that was at least 20 games below 500.
Well, how do they find
I don't know,
that?
And I knew you were going to ask me. I don't know. What I do know is this team is at this team. Pull the plug.
Yeah.
Send them to the morgue. You know, just embalm them. They are dead.
Yeah.
They are done.
So we spent so much time talking dead. About trading LeBron. Like, he's not going to waive his no trade, so it's kind of a moot issue. But the merits of him.
By the way, do you believe when he said that?
What, that he's not going to waive his no trade?
Yes.
I think he's saying that because he wants to go to a specific team, or maybe two, even though there's not many that makes sense, to be honest with you. Because the Lakers don't feel like they're the right team.
Well, let me play this, and then I want you to go, because I'm not sure if I agree with you. Go ahead, guys. Mm. Okay, go ahead. So you think he fully means that? Because I think there's semantics at play there, but go ahead.
I do, but I don't think he's being clever enough or thinking clever enough to put those words, which seemed organic, all together just to obscure his real intent, if that makes sense.
Interesting, because that's the exact opposite of how we framed him now for the last 5, 6, 7 years. Every syllable is calculated.
True, but
why would it change now?
That one didn't feel like it. I think it's I feel like LeBron wants to be felt sorry for in a way.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
Right? So not only...
So he wants our sympathy?
Yeah, I think he wants us to feel bad for him that he plays his ass off every night. I give it every single day, no matter what it is, both ends of the court, which is not necessarily true. He scored 11 points against the Houston Rockets, only shot 10 shots when they got destroyed over this past weekend. His defensive rating has fallen significantly from his historical average. I mean, he averages up in the top 2 or 3, sometimes top 5. Of the NBA. He's way down. You think he's 31st amongst power forwards at his position. Forget overall. He's like 31st at his position. But I feel like he's creating this, I don't know, this like, man, this is just, we're in a bad state right here. Teammates aren't playing defense. You know, I know I do my part. Feel bad for me. Right? We need help here. But at the end of the day, a lot of this is all his fault.
Oh, we know that.
And
every contract that's been given out has been handed out because of his urging.
He wants us to forget that. He wants us to just say, yeah, it's not LeBron's fault. LeBron is still the greatest player on the planet. It's everybody else's fault around him. It's Isaiah's fault because Isaiah can't play defense, which he can't. He can't even score. He's not as explosive as he used to be coming off that hip injury. So it's like he's playing coy. So that we don't blame him and we blame everybody else.
He's trying to absolve himself.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Because that keeps his legacy intact.
Yeah, maybe for those who don't watch the NBA every night.
I agree.
Exactly. You know, listen, if you inhale this stuff, and, you know, it's not just when they're on national TV. It's even, you know, watching the NBA Fast Break, NBA TV, and when they do this and they isolate every game and players only and this. You really listen and you really watch, as you and I do every night for our job and for our passion for the game. You notice that more and more, and you never used to see this, they will circle LeBron James. They will freeze frame. They will show him, you know, just kind of dogging it down the court, not busting his ass.
Loafing back in transition.
Yep.
All that stuff.
This narrative, oh, it's everybody but me, is false. Because LeBron James has become, and I'm not saying I even blame him at this point on some level, but he is no longer the full victim. Because he has fallen into the trap of many of his teammates. He's starting to beg and quit on the season. The words that he used, would never quit on my brothers and all that stuff, I think it's semantics. Because if he would be able to salvage his reputation still if he can frame it and say, well, listen, I wanted to stay. They got a trade for the franchise. Sets them up for the future. I'm an Ohio boy. I want to see the team do well down the road. And I decided to acquiesce for the future. And he can almost position it as a hero, as a martyr of sorts in the basketball sense, that he gave a green stamp for his trade. I don't believe anything at this point. Whatever he says, whatever anybody says from that franchise, I don't believe anybody except one person.
Who?
I actually believe Isaiah Thomas. What Isaiah Thomas is saying is 100% true. It just doesn't sound authentic coming from him,
because he's
who might be problem number one.
Yeah, because and he's only been there for a cup of coffee.
Correct.
Right? He's still trying to figure out what sugar he wants to put in his coffee right now. And he's not playing good at all.
Teague, at its most basic, simple level, they were great before he got there, and now they suck when he's there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of moving parts in between, but that is the most basic math.
We are 20
for the Cavs.
23 hours, a little less than 23 hours away from the trade deadline. Do you think there's a chance they try to move Isaiah?
Well, I mean, he's a free agent. I mean, maybe if it's a culture thing. At this point, I think everything's got to be on the table. Again, I still think you need to, so, yes, my answer will be yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's much demand. You know, I mean, could
yeah,
a team,
but it's not even a demand thing. It's just you got to
salvage the well, yeah,
well,
maybe.
You're forced. Like Ty Lue, and this is an indictment on him, he can't find a lineup that works.
I don't think it's an indictment on him. I think it's an indictment on the roster construction.
True.
I don't know that anybody could find the proper dynamic with this roster. Teague, there's a bunch of one-trick ponies.
Yeah, but
you could either shoot and do nothing else, or you could D and do nothing else. Like, there's no two-way players. I told you how many years ago, this team is alarmingly unathletic.
Yes, you're right.
Now, I didn't play pro ball like Tiki. You're the athlete. Mm-hmm. I'm the loudmouth in the room. Everybody that watches and listens to the show knows that. For me to sit there 3 years ago and watch this team and say, from my couch, as a non-athlete,
that guy
they
can't
are
run.
Slow?
Yeah, that guy can't run.
That tells you they're slow.
That guy can't jump.
Yes.
It's a good thing he's 6'10".
Correct.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, they got – it's over. Put him in the morgue.
Yeah,
get
I mean,
done.
I think – a lot of this could be solved, or we would get more clarity if Dan Gilbert, who is effectively running the organization right now, would just say something, right? Would just tell what are you thinking, Dan? Right? What have you said to LeBron? Because we're at a point where I know they're trying to keep things in house because they don't want it, they don't want the ship to fall apart, but it's already falling apart. Right? Every week, every day, you see something new. I mean, BT mentioned this. They scored 9 points.
That's frightening.
9 points in a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, forget that it was the fourth quarter, but that's even more damage.
Yeah.
9 points.
Against a sub-500 team, by
against
the way.
One of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah.
And so
a radically under 500 team.
Yes.
Not even like a team
look
that's
at that. 17-36 Orlando
is. Disgraceful.
And they didn't have their best player playing in this game. Aaron Gordon wasn't even
true.
Playing.
That's true.
I mean, and they gave up 116 points. So an Aaron Gordon-less Orlando Magic. Right, there is a lot wrong. So whatever Dan Gilbert is waiting for to provide clarity for all of us, what's actually going on, we're ready for it, right? It's not going to affect anything because nothing can affect you when you're this far down at the bottom. You know what I mean? People are saying they haven't hit rock bottom yet. Well, I don't know how much farther they have to go to hit it.
I think the only way, I mean, to your point, I think the next step for rock bottom would be, like, I'm not trying to be, like, funny or facetious, like, would be a player to throw a warm-up jacket or towel in Tyronn Lue's face when he got substituted for.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Or players, like, actually throwing a punch at each other in a huddle.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, you just word leak that on the plane there was a full-scale brawl between, you know, two factions of the team.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only next step.
Yeah.
I mean, for this to be so public, and even if the, like, the remnants of what people think and what's said and the intimations and all the gossip nonsense that's leaked out in a world, even if that wasn't available to us, Teague, all you have to do, if you know anything about basketball, click, Cavs playing, 20 minutes later, click, game off. You say, this team sucks.
Yeah.
This team doesn't like each other.
Nope.
They're not good, and they're old.
Yeah.
I mean, you can deduce that in 20 minutes of watching them play basketball.
You're right.
They're finished. They are absolutely finished. Don't waste my time. Oh, they should get DeAndre Jordan. Trade everybody. Try to trade LeBron. Broke a power meeting with him and his buddy. Say, listen, I know what you said, that you, and we'll make you look like the good guy. I would trade him. You've said this for years.
Mm-hmm.
You may have been ahead of the curve. Everything should be in play because this team, at this rate, this team's getting waxed in the first round. Let's stop. Forget about the pipe dream of maybe they can get Kevin Love back and come back and galvanize and win and make it. This team will win maybe one game because of LeBron's greatness and lose four, a gentleman's sweep, as we say.
Maybe in the
semifinals of the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
We'll give them a little pat on the behind before we actually broom them. All right, we'll give you one win. Get out of here.
Yeah. Look, if they play Toronto again like they did in the semis, Toronto's beating them.
I agree with you.
It is. I mean, LeBron's going to score 40. They're going to lose.
DeMar DeRozan learns how to shoot, and they like each other.
You're right.
And they're more explosive.
You're right.
Wow, what a bad elixir. I mean, we can get to this more coming up here. 1-855-212-4227. You brought up Dan Gilbert's name, and we'll get to KP's injury as well. Can't prolong that forever. But you brought up Dan Gilbert, and it's like, how can you so embarrassingly mismanage rosters? Not just once with LeBron where he leaves town, mm-hmm. but now it morphs into this when he comes back. Like, that is epically bad. Yeah, think about how much you have to try to be bad.
Well, think about how odd, because it wasn't adversarial, just odd it was the first time. Now compared to how bad it is now.
Yes, yes.
Like, which one was worse?
One was basketball, yeah. Now it's culture. Yeah. Well, actually, now it's both.
Yeah, now it's both.
1-855-212-4227, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Your call's coming up next right here on Tiki and Tierney. Okay, good stuff on the hoops, good tweets. We'll get some calls here coming up in a sec. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Well, so my season ended last night, and really, not even about my season. It's far more personal than that. How to really craft this.
You feel like all this hope that you built for the future of your Knicks team is not only taking a setback, mm-hmm. but it might be permanent.
That's a very good starting point, but it's a little deeper than that, unfortunately for me. That's a very good starting point.
That was pretty dire. A setback that could be permanent because he's injury prone, and scouts from Europe are saying he's not someone to build a franchise around.
Yeah. You crystallized a lot of it, but why it's a little deeper emotionally for me is that, you know, and I remember a long time ago, a guy that I used to work with, Wally, you know Wally Matthews, right?
Yeah, of course
you know Wally. He used to
do their show.
That's right. I forgot. Wally Matthews.
Yep.
Long time beat writer. Well, great, one of the great boxing writers in the world.
Yep.
One of the few guys who had access to Mike Tyson back in the day, like Wally. I love Wally. Tough as nails, too. When I worked in New York locally, when I came back from Detroit in 2003, I worked with Wally for a little bit. I remember him saying, and I was still in my late 20s, he said, kid, still had hair too. Uh-huh. He said, kid, at some point you're not going to be a fan anymore of teams. And I was like so perplexed. I'm like, no way, man. I'm like, and we talk off the air. I'm like, not me. I understand, while at some point business will trigger in and you mm-hmm. want to make money, but I will always retain a piece of my fandom. He's like, watch, kid, come back. Come check when you're 35 and 40. Well, I'm in my early 40s. And I'm still a fan.
Yeah.
I'm not saying things haven't been diluted a bit. Of course they have.
Yeah.
Dude, you're not waking up with pom-poms every day. You got to do a job.
I think the difference is that we do a national show. And mm-hmm. so you're not deeply immersed in the Knicks every day, beat writing, you know, seeing every, like, you don't get desensitized to it.
Well, but I watch him every night.
I know, because you sit back and watch. I'm talking about if you were doing media inside the
I think
the
I might
Knicks.
Be more engaged, actually, because you're talking a little bit. You'd probably be at the Garden more often.
Maybe.
Either way, when you hit a certain age, you know, like growing up, we all have our idols. You were a huge Walter mm-hmm. Payton guy.
Yep.
You know, my guys growing up, the tail end of Bernard King, a little bit too young to remember his prime, but
Donnie Baseball.
Of course, Mattingly's my all-time favorite. That was my sport. Mm-hmm. Chris Mullen right there, you know, and then, of course, Ewing with the Knicks. And then really until Wayne Krabet came along, even with all the great Yankees, like, you get to a certain age, you don't look. Like, I never looked at Jeter, like, with this wistful, youthful.
I hear you.
He was mine, and I loved him, and it was Jeets, but I'm a grown man. Porzingis was different. In the sense that now I'm starting to see him through my son's eyes. And this guy on screen was the, you know, really some of the first words were letters Colton would say, KP. And he understood, you know, let's shoot hoops. You know, let's get shots up like KP. And it was the first connection. As much as we watched the Yankees, he didn't really know what was going on this past year. You know, he wanted to watch the Knicks with Daddy every night. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he falls asleep on my lap. And Porzingis isn't dead, God forbid. I'm not saying that. But what happened was, you know, I got sucked in on an emotional level that I started to think I was somewhat incapable of given my age. And I started to look at Porzingis as like, it was a different emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I got sucked into it through my son's eyes, I start to see the basketball prodigy. And I start to see my world opening up, and the next 15, 18, 19 years with Colton, and eventually my daughter as well, you know, going to the Garden, watching games, hopefully winning a couple of championships, something that's never happened in my life, basically with all my teams, but I wasn't born when the Knicks won their last championship, okay? And I see this guy 7'3", breaking down off the dribble, knocking down 30-foot jump shots, dunking in your face, blocking shots, getting the rebound, igniting the fast break, dishing, you know, no-look bounce passes to whomever's streaking down the right side, doing things that really nobody's ever done. And last night he goes down in a crashing, crumbling heap. And all the signs were there. Teak, you've been saying for years, bad sells about certain players. Oh, God, look at it. By the way, if that's his last great play, and who knows, he just dunked it down in the freak's mug. Is what he just did. And all the little tweaks, the aggravation, you know, my knee, I'm going to miss 3 or 4 games, my wrist, this, that. All the warning signs were there that I wanted to ignore because I wanted this to finally be the guy. And he might still be the guy. Because to be the guy, you've got to be innately great, but you've got to crave the stage, as you know.
Yep.
And you've got to be able to handle the attention, as you know, which we both surmise strongly he could.
Yeah.
All these things, really, I really thought he was my son's Ewing. And at the risk of sounding corny, I don't give a rat's ass what anybody thinks. It's heartbreaking. Like, it's truly heartbreaking. Here I am in my 40s, and I'm like, I'm sincerely hurt by this injury last night. Not about, the Knicks playoff run. And by the way, what did I get which was a figment of everybody's imagination. Anyway, it wasn't going to happen. What did I get my dad for Christmas? What did I tell you? Tickets to the March 11th game, because I needed my dad to be there with my son for his first game at the Garden.
Yeah.
We're not going to go now because KP's not playing.
Yeah.
And we were only going to go so Colton could see KP.
Yeah, they're probably going to lose. It was about seeing KP for the first time.
See his eyes lit up in person.
This
is devastating.
Now the first time you'll get to see KP might be a year plus from now because, I mean, this is a
9 months is 10, ambitious. He's not going to be back in 10, 9 months.
I was saying this is a 9 month injury, 10 month injury for the freaks of the world, like the Adrian Petersons of the world, whose body is ridiculous.
Yep.
Every muscle fiber is perfect.
Yep.
And that's why when Adrian tore his ACL at the end of an NFL season, he was back by the next September.
Not happening.
And rushed for 2,000 yards that next year.
Derrick Rose, by the way, was 14 months.
I know.
And he was young.
And so usually, BT, because when I was playing early in my career, late 90s, if you tore your ACL, 18 months. I mean, that's what they would say.
Yeah.
They'd say, you'll be back up and you'll be running, you know, 12 a year or whatever. But it was 18 months until you felt right? Confident, not worried about re-injuring your knee, comfortable in your body. It's come back a little bit. But with KP, who's 7'3", as you said, It's
with a weak base from the waist down.
Exactly. Doesn't have, you know, a big hips or big thighs. Ugh. You know, big key. Doesn't have that structure around that joint, that knee joint to support it. I mean, this could be 13, 14 months for him.
I'm really worried about
this. I mean, seriously.
I know.
And then once he does get back, I mean, how do you build yourself stronger when you have an ACL?
Game's going to have to be modified, I guess, and that's a conversation for a different day. But man, oh man.
But if his game is modified, he's not what made him special.
We've been doing this show 5-plus years, and the reason I even told you the story about Wally and how I retained my fandom is because, you know, I don't just sit in this seat every day and pontificate upon something. Like, I still love the teams that I grew up with.
Yep.
That was my motivation to get to this seat. And I have not hurt this much as a fan in a long time. I mean, this sucks.
Yeah, I feel for you.
And Teak, every night, God, I would, if there was a Bible in front of me, I would touch it as I say this. I would watch the Knicks every night. And since I knew I was going to do this for my Christmas gift for my dad and Cole, I'd say, just don't get it. Just be there for March 11th. I was always worried about this. So now we'll see. The fate of the Knicks is, very much, you know, it's been 20 years of hell anyway, but this guy was the galvanizing force, this young Latvian superstar with prodigious talents and, a fresh smile and a clean slate, and now it's just right to the basketball factory. Try to get him right, see what happens, but that's terrible. And I'll tell you one thing I noticed on social media. It's not just Knicks fans. I mean, basketball fans are going to really... He's fun to watch, so hang in there, brother. Yeah, I know you're not hearing this, but I had to get that off my chest. Because, man, it's...
I'm glad you did.
It's... All right, Ack. We got the update. Here's the Ack, man. Rich.
This week on my Tiki Barbers podcast, sponsored by Geico, I got a chance to talk with ex-Ranger Sean Avery. Such an interesting man. Go to iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify to download the podcast. And great news, it's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance.
God, he was an agitator. Ooh, oh, man, what an instigator that guy was.
But he's so, like, you talk to him now. Yep. First of all, he doesn't look like an athlete at all. He's in the fashion. He's mm-hmm. married to a supermodel.
Probably looks like you.
Yeah, but he's married.
I mean, you don't look like it.
True. This guy ran running, but played running back for 10 years.
Yeah, right?
Like, no.
By the way, you're really popping that collar today, aren't you? You're really popping that hard today, aren't
you?
That's a hard pop. No, I'm not. Why? I don't know why.
Because it won't lay down correctly. So I'm just like, forget it.
You got these things called, this little starch is one thing.
Starch
is one.
They've
got those little things you slide in.
But I'm a man. There's no collar things in it.
Oh, I got you.
So
I got
it
you.
It's taken
like a rugby shirt than a.
Yes,
I got you.
It would have taken a lot of work with an iron.
Look at this guy. Exactly. I noticed that right away, but yeah. I wasn't fully
hey, man. It's all good.
Awake yet, being pop sick for a couple of days with the flu. I said, I got to make fun of his collar at some point. I'm starting to feel better. Now you know I'm feeling better.
Yeah.
We start making fun of each
other.
But that Avery hit sounds good. Make sure you go check that. Spotify, right? iTunes.
Yeah, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play. Wherever you get your podcast,
cool.
Check it out. He's interesting.
It's about the fourth one you've done or so?
That was actually six.
Was it that many?
Yeah, number six.
Okay, good stuff.
I got to do
stuff.
You soon.
Yeah, man. You know I'm here for you. When you have a light week and you can't get an A-lister, just go to your partner. Get the C-lister.
You are my A-lister.
And I appreciate that. We'll get to Jason Lock and Four here in a couple of minutes. Damien's in Baltimore. Damien, how are you, buddy? What's happening today, man? What do you got? Damien.
And
I hope you love us that much that you got to sing to us. I don't know if we've ever been serenaded. What's up, Damien?
Go ahead, buddy. Buddy, you better start talking before you get zapped really quick. Today's not the day to mess with me. Later on, I'll get Thomas in Oklahoma City. Tommy, how are you, buddy?
Please don't sing.
I'm good. How are y'all? Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. I ain't got the voice for all that.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Neither did he. That didn't stop him. What's up?
First off, I want to say I'm sorry about your unicorn. I know how it feels to lose a superstar of your team being out here in Oklahoma City for a long period of time. You know, we went without Russell Westbrook. He was down a couple of seasons ago for an extended period of time. I know your pain, brother.
Yeah, I hear you. I'll trudge forward. What else can you do? Appreciate it. What do you got there, Thomas?
Let's go back to this Cleveland thing and LeBron James.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm tired of people referring to him as the best player on the planet. Mm. If you look at his numbers and you compare him to other guys, other players have stepped their game up to the point. I'm going to be a homer right quick. Look at Russell Westbrook's averages.
True.
Has LeBron James ever added the triple-double during a season?
But, Thomas, he hasn't won yet. He hasn't ultimately won. And we want to judge players by can they bring their team to a championship.
Thomas used the wrong example. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Your premise might actually be even if Thomas's premise is right,
yeah,
and Thomas, it could be, you use the wrong player.
Agreed.
To illuminate
if you
the
had,
fall, if you will,
Thomas,
of LeBron.
If you had referenced your former player.
That's where I thought he was going to go, actually.
Yeah,
maybe
if
we
you
would have
said KD, I would have co-signed that one.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. All right, I got that.
We'll circle back to that.
Yeah,
that's certainly
a
fertile thought. Teak, we're joined now by Jason Lock and Four, CBS Sports NFL Insider. Jay, wow, I mean, what a crazy story here with Josh McDaniels. I mean, I don't know how stunned you are on a scale of 1 to 10, but how quickly can they recalibrate? What the hell happened, Jay?
Yeah, I mean, look, he simply changed his mind after spending several hours with Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft and them throwing everything they could at him sort of metaphysically and in terms of, I mean, they didn't put anything in writing about his future, but it could not have been made more clear to him how vital he is to that organization. Let's face it, they didn't have a whole lot of glowing candidates for an offensive coordinator. Tom Brady's only had three of them. He expects a certain caliber of coach and play caller. They didn't have a next man up on that side of the ball the way they do on defense with Brian Flores, you know, in all likelihood replacing Matt Patricia, and that's Belichick's specialty anyway. They don't have an heir apparent for Belichick, and again, that wasn't put in a contract or anything, but you convince a guy to leave an owner at the altar like this, there's an assumption that he's going to be around a while and you're going to take care of him. And, you know, at the end of the day, for him and his family and everything he decided, and his wife was involved in this as well, I'm told, he just felt like despite the verbal agreements and the term sheet that had been agreed to, he had not signed his contract, and he made it clear to the Colts that he wanted to go in another direction. And at that point, as Chris Ballard said today, it was a quick conversation, and it was time for the Colts to immediately reverse field and find somebody who does, you know, in his mind, body, heart, and soul, want to be their head coach. But I can tell you, McDaniels had not shared any of this with anybody until he was cleaning his stuff out Tuesday with the Patriots and started meeting with ownership and meeting with Belichick. I know a lot of people very close to him, and he was talking to them Monday night, Tuesday morning, and it was all systems go for the Colts. And he was talking to Daryl Bevel about possibly being his offensive coordinator and scheduling more interviews with coaches. And this was a go.
Wow. Jason, what do the Colts do now with the couple of assistants that they've hired and for the head coach? I mean, you're bottom picking right now.
I mean, yeah and no. I mean, you know, I think you go back 5-6 years ago and there were like 12 coaches hired, and the one who got the least fanfare and was seen as an afterthought was Bruce Arians, right?
Because yeah, good point.
The Bears picked Trestman over him, and his only option was Arizona, and that took a long time to happen, and it worked out better than the 11 other situations. So we don't know. You never know. Frank Reich is a guy who's interviewed for jobs before. He was very nearly the coach at the University of Maryland a few years back, and he's someone who has experience in that organization, is a well-liked guy. He's done great work, you know, with Philip Rivers. He's done great work with Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. You know, I think he could wear that hat pretty well. Dan Campbell, I'm told, is the other clubhouse leader. Remember, he was spent about 12 games as the interim head coach for the Dolphins.
Yep.
Did a pretty decent job there. He's somebody who Chris Ballard, the GM, can relate to in terms of what they look for in a football team. And as for the coaches they already hired, those are all guys who have ties to Ballard as well. So it's not like the GM wasn't on board with those guys or those were, quote-unquote, just Josh guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they all have direct ties to Ballard from his time in Chicago with Marinelli and Lovie Smith. So, you know, it's not like they're from a different defense or a different mindset or a different scheme than what Ballard already wanted to run and what McDaniels wanted to run as well.
Yeah, but listen, so it's far from untenable. I understand that, but it's certainly far from perfect. I mean,
not ideal.
Yeah.
The way they drew it up, they thought they were having a press conference today.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look, we talked about this with Hugh Jackson a few weeks ago when things were going crazy in Cleveland again. If they were to fire him, you know, now, or if they were to fire him in June, like, you'd still have guys potentially out there like Jim Schwartz. You know what I mean? You'd have other guys who interviewed for jobs who it's not like they couldn't do it. It's not like you can't get a coach. Three teams fired their GMs after the draft last year. Buffalo, Carolina, Kansas City, all at weird times, some of them very late in the summer. Did they all not go to the playoffs last year?
Yeah.
No, that's fair.
You still know.
No,
yeah.
Listen, it's just unconventional. I mean, and we know
for those who
might not know, of course, you do this for a living, so you obviously know you broke half this stuff, but you know, Nagy interviewed there, Vrabel interviewed there, Wilkes interviewed there. They had, you know, meeting Rule, obviously. We didn't think that was necessarily a viable, mm-hmm. you know, more of a chat, more of an exploratory thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they spoke to a lot of people who got jobs and a lot of viable names. And for now to be kind of, you know, rustling the trees to see what shakes out, it's not optimal. I think we all agree on that. But, you know, whatever.
It's not. And Josh was their guy. He was the first person they interviewed. They clicked immediately. You know, Josh was most intrigued by them of all the other possibilities. And they were locked in on him as a guy to unlock Andrew Luck in that offense and take it to the next level. And, you know, everything was heading in that direction until about 7 o'clock last night.
Crazy. We're talking to our buddy Jason Lock and Four. Of course, his work is never done. He's always hopping on something. And it's Jason's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Jason's our CBS Sports NFL insider.
Hey, Jason, you broke the story about the Colin Kaepernick collusion case going forward. What does this mean for Cap, and how terrified are some of these owners?
Well, I mean, it does not sound like there is an absolute smoking gun in terms of these documents that have been exchanged. I mean, basically, the way this process works is there's discovery. And Kaepernick's legal team came up with about 15 search terms, you know, Kaepernick, tryout, emergency list, you know, things related to free agent players and why, you know, why no one signed Collins. And then they asked for any correspondence between certain, you know, between, they gave a list of individuals with various NFL teams, including the league office, who, you know, we want access to what their phones and emails said about these search terms over this period of time. And then it takes months to get all that together. And then, you know, there's things that the NFL's lawyers wanted from Kaepernick, access to certain documents with him. So these sides, about 2 weeks ago, exchanged almost 100,000 documents. It obviously takes a long time to go through that. Yeah. I don't know that there's a smoking gun in there, but what it does is sets the stage for kernels of information that you gather before you actually have depositions with these individuals, which will be coming up at some point this winter or early spring, where you now have these electronic communications and you're privy to certain things, and you say to a Jerry Jones or a Jed York, you know, or, you know, a John Robinson, the GM of the Titans. You can look at these certain situations where people let him go or passed on him or never entertained him, and you want to get at why. You know, you have questions for Robert Kraft about his relationship with Donald Trump. It was Donald Trump influencing you and therefore influencing other owners not to sign someone who was a viable free agent. So it's going to take time for this to play out, but it is not something that happened in the, you know, in the ether. It is a very real process that is unfolding on a weekly and monthly basis.
I have no idea what they tweet, what they text each other, you know, what they send via other forms of transmission here, electronic transmission. But, you know, maybe, and I'm probably skewing overly optimistically right now for a moment, but maybe this actually winds up being a good thing.
Yeah.
With this undercurrent of racism and the good old boys network, if it's actually proven that there wasn't anything, you know, a collusion against Collin, if there were no negative or not just negative, but, you know, repulsive words used or framing of race, maybe this actually winds up being a good thing. I mean, it would have to come back clean for that to actually transpire, but I'm going to hold out hope that it does and that this actually works out well for everybody. I mean, who knows? All right, quickly on this. Likelihood that the Redskins tag Kirk Cousins. I know this has been written about. Can you give us 30 seconds on this?
They're talking about it. They're asking other people's opinion on it. At the end of the day, Cousins can control the process and nothing they can do can alter that. He decides when or if he wants to sign that. He decides when or if he wants to do a long-term extension and with which teams. It's not viable. You know, it's petty, and it reveals just how personal this is. But at the end of the day, when we get to February 20th through March the 6th, the period to tag guys, I don't believe they're going to tag him. There's too many cap and cash ramifications for them if they get burned.
Okay. Yeah, JLC, what about Le'Veon Bell? We had him on at the Super Bowl. He seems like he wants to stay in Pittsburgh, but it's got to be for the right number. Any progress?
He wants $16 million plus a year. That's a big, big number for a running back. And what they had on the table last summer in the first 2 years was already paying him more than it would have been on two straight franchise tags. So they're already budgeted to give him the tag and to proceed in that manner. You know, could they get a long-term deal done? That's not out of the question either. But they're prepared to tag him again and you know, go year to year.
Jay, thank you very much, buddy. Appreciate you as always.
You got it, guys. No worries.
Be good, Jason.
There he is, Jason Lockenfour, CBS Sports. And we're going to get back to these calls. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, Teak. There's a quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO and go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. So whether it's Josh McDaniel's abrupt U-turn, whether it's KP's injury, whether it's LeBron and the saga of the Cavaliers, lots to jump in on. And also something you and I can get into next hour, which we will. Are we headed towards a strike? Major League Baseball. Boy, that would certainly douse the flames of enthusiasm for what was a great October and should be a great start to the season. That would be not be good for the sport. But you and I can get into that as well.
Yeah, no, it's interesting when you look at all of the unsigned vet free agents.
Names out there, brother. All right, big hour coming up. Hour three, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.